Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. I'm Josh Horowitz. This is my very own podcast. Thanks for subscribing if you have, and if you haven't, I am silently, or not so silently, judging you. Please subscribe. This podcast is a labor of love, and hopefully you guys are digging it. Last week's guest got a lot of great feedback, Mr. Woody Allen. If you haven't checked that one out, I encourage you to do so. And this week's guest is no slouch either. She is a very talented actress I'm a huge fan of, and I really enjoyed chatting with her. Diane Kruger. Diane, you probably know best from Inglourious Basterds, where she was so amazing in holding her own against some of the greatest actors like Michael Fassbender and Christoph Waltz. She's, of course, also starring in the FX show The Bridge, now in its second season. She is, I should say for context, we taped this a couple weeks back, right after the World Cup. Diane Kruger, as you may have guessed, is a German by birth. She was feeling a lot of pride. It was just the day before that she enjoyed watching her country emerge victorious in the World Cup. So that's what you'll hear at the outset of this conversation. Her flying high off the World Cup and me trying to understand why it even matters. I really enjoyed catching up with Diane. She's a very talented actress and also has a good kind of dry wit, which once you key in on is just fun to mix it up with. As always, guys, hit me up on Twitter, Joshua Horowitz. Tag it with Happy, Sad, Confused. Just let me know what you're enjoying, who you want to hear, and spread the good word. Without any further ado, let's get right to it. Ms. Diane Kruger. Enjoy.
Last time I saw you was for the host,
the
right?
Host, yeah. We did one of those live thingamajiggies. Right. And I also saw you in Sundance.
That's right.
Congratulations, first of all, as we tape this. This is a big day.
It is a big day.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling on top of the world.
And feel free, by the way, if you want to adjust the mic maybe a little bit closer to you, that'd be great. So was that okay? So where did you experience the World Cup?
I was in New York, in a friend's house.
Okay,
and I was the only real German there, and
What was your blood alcohol content by the time?
I couldn't drink. I couldn't even sit down. I was standing the entire time. I was exhausted because it was such a long game.
Yeah,
it was amazing. And then I had friends who are Argentinian, and we were just talking shit all day. I was not a kind person yesterday until we won.
I feel like America's catching up. We're catching up a little bit, but I feel like I don't know. From a European perspective, I don't know if you can convey the importance of what that is to Americans quite yet. I mean, we're kind of like on board with like the celebrating part and kind of like New York definitely came alive yesterday.
I mean, I guess if for you it's football, right? American football I don't know. I mean, soccer, it's something that I grew up with. Everybody in Europe, I mean, you have no choice but be a soccer fan or not. But, it's in your life whether you like it or not.
Totally.
I don't follow, regional football.
Okay.
But the Euro Cup, I actually flew to Kiev a couple years ago to watch the finals of the Euro Cup, thinking it was going to be Germany, Spain, and then Italy just...
Didn't pan out?
It did not pan out. But it was still a fun time. But I do feel like the Americans are catching up. I have a German... coach,
right.
And I think you have a real shot because those kids
don't condescend to me. Don't patronize me.
I'm sorry, I have to.
You little guys, you're coming along.
No, it's cute.
It's
no, but they're 19 and 20 years old. The guys that he found, and
so by 4 years we might be hitting the prime,
and not necessarily the prime, but I really think that the team has made huge strides, if I may say so.
So where is your allegiance versus, we'll call it soccer, football, whatever you like, versus hockey? Because it's a big year also for hockey.
Huge Kings fan.
That's what I hear.
I went to game 3 of the final, the final 7, and No, I love anything sporty. I mean, I go to anything. Yeah, except for baseball. I'm not a big baseball.
That's kind of my sport.
That's your sport?
That's my sport.
What do you do?
What do you mean?
Like nothing ever happens.
You're about soccer or football, I'm sorry, where there's like one or two goals maybe sometimes a game.
Yeah, but people actually, there's action on the field. Like I feel like baseball, nothing ever happens.
There's a lot to think about.
What do you think about? What's going on through their minds?
When I'm
going to
have another nacho?
Yeah, well, that's exactly. I feel like people just go to eat bad food.
Why do you have judgment in your voice when you say that?
I'm not judging. It's an observation.
When you're at a hockey game with Josh, does anybody ever try to pick a fight with a Mighty Duck? Does it ever get weird?
Well, we fight sometimes because he's a Canucks fan.
Okay.
And I'm a Kings fan.
Right.
So, you know, his team is the eternal losing team. So I feel like he's picking bad teams. I don't know. And then so he actually went to the winning game. I couldn't go because I was working, but I tried to convince him to come to the winner's side.
Join me on the
good side.
It's so much more fun over here.
It is.
We dance, we drink, we smile.
You win cups. It's awesome.
You used to be a New Yorker, right? We're taping this here in my office in New York. Mm-hmm. Do you miss New York at all?
I do a lot. Yeah, we were thinking about renting a place. We might. We were going to be here over the summer because Josh is actually. Working on a show called The Affair that shoots in New York in Montauk. So
amazing.
Yeah.
So what, from what I gather, okay, so you split your time a bit. Paris, you consider home.
Home, yeah.
But obviously LA.
LA now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So pluses or minuses? Were you one of those people that was kind of like avoiding LA for a long while? I mean, have you acclimated a bit?
Yeah, I you do get used to the space, you know, most, and the weather, obviously. But I feel like as much as I miss Europe, because I just feel like, you know, especially Paris, it's so beautiful and culturally, there's so much diversity.
Right.
And the same with New York, you know, I feel like you can be anonymous and anything you want to be or anyone you want to be.
Exactly.
And LA, you know, you got to get used to it. It's a very isolating town if you don't know people.
Right.
But when you do, you know, it's like I love my home. Like I have a vegetable garden. I mean,
these are perks that you can't get in New York most of the time.
Exactly.
What about the industry aspect of it? I mean, I've been lucky enough. I grew up here in New York, and I've been lucky enough to stay here for the 600 years I've been living. but, like, I do feel like – I mean, I like to visit L.A., but, like, the industry is a little overwhelming. Is it a little bit much sometimes to kind of, like – because you want some space from that sometimes.
But here's the thing. Your life is what you want your life to be, right? So my friends there are not necessarily in the industry.
You don't, like, pour over – you don't talk, hey, did you see Variety this morning?
No.
God, that sounds like 10 years old. No one looks at Variety anymore.
I know. That's how I feel. At least I hope. You know, whenever there's a bad review in it, I'm like, I hope nobody reads it anymore.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, so New York can be just as grinding if you want it.
Depends on the kind of life you carve out, I guess. So let's talk a little bit about The Bridge, which congratulations as we tape this. We're getting knee deep into season two, which has got to be exciting for you that, you never know when you launch a new series. It's tough to get it off the ground and get the kind of acclaim you guys have gotten. Were you dragged into TV? Were you open arms into TV? What was kind of your attitude about taking on a TV series?
I was excited about doing a cable show. I'm not sure I'm cut out for 9 months of, you know, slave work on a network show, honestly. Like, Josh has been on many TV shows, and that schedule is just not something I think I could sustain.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really exciting time. You know, everybody's talking about it, especially for women, the roles in television are just so much better. And this was a really cool group of people, I feel like. And it's been creatively so satisfying. You know, I'm part of so much more of the process than in a movie.
Right.
I'm involved in many more aspects of it, and I love it.
I mean, we did just – I just had like Carrie Russell was in here last week. And you do hear – I mean, she said the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like – and, you know, you see talented actresses like Halle Berry going to TV where, like, again, 10 years ago, it would have been insane to think people like you or Halle would, like, do a television show. I mean, that's great, and it's also kind of a bummer, too, about where we're at in film where there are so few and far between roles for –
Yes and no. You know, I try not. I think I'm not one of those people that looks back and thinks, oh, things were better, you know, back then.
Right.
Because the movies are what they are. They're big spectacles. And, you know, I love to go see Spider-Man in 3D. But at the same time, when I want to watch a movie, even that I want to think about and that is challenging, I'd rather watch it at home. You know,
right.
and that's clearly what most people feel like.
Right.
And also, you know, I'm not 18 or 25. Whatever their age group is that they're gearing towards those movies, you
right.
know, and I have a life. I don't want to, you know, if I come home from work, the last thing I want to do is like get out and go to the movies again.
Totally.
So coming out,
I'm curious because, like, you know, looking at the kind of the arc of a career and like to see like kind of like the you know, the upticks, at least in terms of like recognition. Obviously, you look at something like Troy, which was like a huge thing, and Inglourious Basterds, which was an amazing both box office and critical success. Did you feel like out of each of those opportunities, better opportunities came, or was it kind of an eye opener that like, oh, I still have to fight. I still have to like try and find the cool stuff. I thought it would be an easier road after this, but it never gets easier, or maybe it only does get a little bit easier.
You know, it's never an easy road because no career is like the next.
Right.
And the roles that you hope for yourself are sometimes just clearly not within your reach, or directors that you want to work with don't necessarily have the desire to work with you.
Right.
You know, so there's always this battle of trying to create those opportunities for yourself, and then try and pick and choose carefully. You know,
and
that's really the hardest part of it all. Because when you're in it, obviously you don't have the objectivity that you need to like say, oh, this is a bad move. And I try to make decisions based with my heart. But that's not always possible. You
right.
know, it's, I don't know.
Has it changed then? Has like the algorithm changed? Is it still kind of instinctual and judging from the heart? Or are you more calculating about the kind of stuff that you take? Or
no, it still is. But now, you know, maybe also because of The Bridge and that's filming for 4.5 months, I don't feel like I have to find the next gig
right.
quite as fast as I used to.
Right.
Also, you know, I make French films, and that's always been great for me. And the next thing I'm going to do is a French movie. So I've always felt like I've been a working actress no matter what.
Right.
But as I grow older, I have more experience to bring into to my roles, you
yeah.
know, and that's always, especially for women, you know, as older you get, the roles are less of them in
sure.
general, you know, but yet as an actor or an actress, you're much more capable.
Right.
Right. And that's the eternal battle.
You mentioned, you know, going back to French films, you obviously speak English better than me, which isn't hard. French, German, presumably.
Yep.
So did you grow up learning all three?
No, I grew up learning German, obviously, and English from the time I was like 8.
Okay.
Yeah. And then French, I never studied French in school. I learned Latin, which I guess helps you with languages.
Right.
And then,
French. Do you often speak Latin around the house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I recite my Iliad like once a week.
Well, you got to keep it fresh.
Got to keep it fresh. yeah, no, that was a mistake. But 8 years of Latin, total waste of my time.
Wait, 30 seconds ago, you said it's a good building block.
That's what people say. I'm still trying to figure out if that was true.
You're still
or not,
rationalizing
that
horrible mistake.
Pretty much. I wish I'd studied French because I don't write it very well.
Okay.
I sort of taught myself how to read. I went to drama school in France.
Okay.
But, you know, I speak it. Like, I could fool you. People, even in France, think that I'm French.
That's impressive.
But, you know, as soon as I have to write a text, they're like, are you 5?
Or do you have a problem
yeah,
that we should know about?
Clearly, yeah, exactly.
Do you dream in French, German, English, Pig Latin, Latin?
In Latin. Only in Latin.
You are a very unique person.
Yes, there you go. That'd be amazing.
But do you? I mean, what's the default like when you?
I think mostly English because that's what I speak mostly
yeah.
now. But when I'm in France, I mean, I happen to dream in French sometimes.
Why is it? I mean, this sounds like an obnoxious American question, but why is it important to return to French films for you? Is it based on what you know, making your life in Paris, or is it just the kind of filmmakers that are working in French films, or what?
Well, it's a little bit of all of that. I think I'm European, and so I feel very connected to the stories that, you know, the cinema is so different in Europe as it is
right.
than it's here. And I love both sides, you know. But French film, to me, is why I wanted to become an actress. And I just love French filmmakers. They're eccentric and crazy, but and a lot of the times they write their own scripts, you know, which is also really rare here.
Right.
And so they're like God in France. If you're an actor, you know, you get chosen by a director. Like, the producer has nothing to say.
Well, speaking of one of those kind of gods, like, I remember I've only interviewed him once, but it was a huge thrill for me because growing up, Luc Besson was somebody that, like, I just worshipped. I know he had kind of an impact in your career too, right?
Yeah, I mean, he gets credited for more than he deserves.
Okay, then let's pull him down a peg.
No, well, no. I mean, Luc Besson is amazing. When he was casting or looking for The Fifth Element, he hadn't met Mila yet. And so I think he'd seen a picture of me in a magazine, and he asked me to come in and meet with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't speak French at the time. So he just, I guess, I said, you know, I'm not an actress. I don't know what you really want from me. I don't know how to act. And he proceeded, I was very young, 16, I was very green. And so we were in an office just like this, and he started telling me this horrible story about his grandmother dying. I mean, it was really awkward because I didn't know this man, obviously. And so I started crying, and he was like, yes, that's good. Wait. And he started like filming me, and obviously he didn't give me the role, but he said, you know, I think you should be an actress rather than a model, you know. Also, I'm not very tall. He's like, I think you should try this. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then years later, when I went to drama school, he gave me my second job, which was a terrible movie, but still, it was a job. And so I'm eternally grateful.
Did his grandmother actually die, or did he just use
I feel like he lied. I don't know. I couldn't ask him. I didn't speak French, so I don't know.
Just give a thumbs up or thumbs down. Yeah. Alive, dead.
Yeah, it was a sad story.
Did you mentioned modeling. Did that help in any way acting? Do you use any of those muscles for acting, or was it totally apples and oranges?
I think that's apples and oranges. Because when you're a model, you pose for the camera, trying to look your best at all times. And acting's kind of, you know, the opposite of that.
Right.
The camera's there. But
and arguably more vulnerability you
show,
the better.
And the more flaws or the more vulnerability you show, the better actor you are going to be. You know?
Right.
So.
Yet I do still see you. I mean, you obviously, people talk about your fashion style a lot. Mm-hmm. And I see you at like at runway shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. You enjoy that? Like, from your perspective, what do you enjoy? Because I would not get much out of sitting in the front row of a fashion show.
I'm a girl, you know. I feel like, why not? You know, one doesn't exclude the other. I'm not part, per se, of the fashion world anymore, but I'm very good friends with Karl Lagerfeld,
right.
And I think he's a great artist in a way. You know, like, when I modeled, there's only a few really great designers, in my opinion, left, you know. Like, when you see the work of someone like Yves Saint Laurent or of Valentino or Karl Lagerfeld, you know, they changed the way women dress, and it's a real art. You know, it's not so much about a commercial aspect to what they do, and I really appreciate that. And I think we're women, but why not? You know,
my limited interaction with Karl Lagerfeld. I spent a brief period of time working at Interview Magazine,
right?
And Ingrid Cishet, the editor at the time, was buddies with Karl, and he'd come by. He's quite an eccentric, interesting character.
Oh my gosh. I know. We're neighbors in Paris, so I see him all the time when I'm there. And I just, you know, there's nobody like him. I mean, like, he's just...
He might be a sweet man, but he looks to me like he should be a James Bond villain. Like,
he thinks he's a James Bond villain. He just sent me a picture of him sitting in, like, Mr. No, you know, in that seat with his cat. I'm not kidding. That was my Christmas gift. Choupette and me, we wish you a very Merry Christmas.
And 1 year from now, I shall take over the planet.
Pretty much. Well, he kind of has. But it's kind of weird because I have it like framed in my bathroom, and Carl stares at me.
Amazing. So pace-wise, a television show, was that rude? I mean, you talk about Josh. I mean, network shows, 24 episodes, that's insanity.
Too much,
Especially an hour-long drama like he did.
Yeah.
Has done a few times. Is this manageable, or is it still kind of like... Because I heard you in another interview talk about one of the new things that must be interesting for you is, like, you're dealing with one script, and another script comes in, and you kind of have to juggle that in your brain, and that's a different thing. It's a different way of working.
It is. It's exhausting, you know. I think it's exhausting for... Not just for that. I mean, it's interesting, because as the lead of a show, you know, it's me and Demian Bashir, and we get the scripts earlier than most people, and so, you know, they ask us to give notes that are sometimes addressed, sometimes not. But also, you know, you take on this role of sort of the leader of the pack, because so many people come in and out, and the only constant usually is him and I.
Right.
You know?
Even so directors come and go.
Directors, but also co-stars that right. come and have a really big part in an episode, but then they're gone, and
right.
it's sort of our job to make them feel comfortable. And
right.
it's just it's a lot going on. I'm not unhappy that I'm done in 2 weeks.
Well, not to
mention.
Not to mention, I mean, obviously, for those that have seen the show, it's well known. You know, you play a character with Asperger's,
yeah.
and that must. I mean, among the many challenges of something like that is it must. That inhibits one's, I mean, I'm not an expert on someone with Asperger's, you
mm-hmm.
probably know better than me by now, but like, you can't, I would think, react in the moment as you would to things.
Right.
You can't be instinctual, because mm-hmm. that is an inhibitor
that's right.
of
yeah.
their personality, and that must be difficult.
It is. The first couple of weeks, every season, I mean, we're in season two, but it was very difficult to get back into it, you know,
yeah.
and to find the right balance and be true to someone who lives with Asperger's. The good news is for this season, I think, you know, season one, we introduced all the characters. So I think every character is a little bit more extreme. You know, he's
right.
the Mexican. She's this cop with Asperger's. And now in season two, I feel like the writers on Elwood Reed, our producer, showrunner, has really given my character a big personal life and backstory. So I'm able to show different emotions, you know,
right.
because she has so many limitations.
So I want to go back for a little bit. I mean, I mentioned, like, you know, these hallmarks like Inglourious and Troy. I mean, at the time, for instance, Troy, which was probably the biggest scale-wise, like, you know, worldwide phenomenon at the time, was that a huge audition when you went on and you knew, like, and did you feel like from the start you were in the running, and how big a moment is it to get a part like that in a big studio film like that at that stage in your career? Or was it
no,
like
that was my
thing?
Second film. It wasn't even a big thing. I had no agent in Hollywood, and I was filming my first picture, I think, in Montreal, and my French agent or my English agent said, "Oh, they're looking for girls. Why don't you put yourself on tape?" And literally, that's what I did in my hotel
wow.
room. Like, you know, had someone film an audition, and I sent it in, never thinking I would ever hear again. And then it was like a long process. Like
sure.
they flew me out. I came back, and then they're like, "Oh, we got to go back out."
Because that's one of the things where it's filmmakers, the studio weighs
exactly.
in, Brad probably weighs, everybody weighs in.
Everybody
kind of
weighs in, but I was sort of blissfully unaware of what was going on. You
right.
know? I was just like, "Well, can't they not make up their minds? Like, what is going on?" You know,
I'm Diane Kruger. This is my second film. Just
well,
figure the fuck
no,
out.
No, it's just so different. The system in Europe. It's like you either, you know, get the job or you don't. Like, they don't send it out to 5,000 different actresses, you know. If you get the script, they want you for the movie.
Does that steal you going forward for other auditions? Does it make it easier in the last decade to go on auditions, having been through that crazy where you probably had to read six different times?
Yeah.
Is it a little easier, or is it still kind of nerve-wracking and you hate it?
It depends on the role, you know, if you really want the role. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. And,
yeah.
you know, what I do think is weird that the male co-star often has a say of what his female I mean,
that is interesting.
Honestly, that's something that I still can't get past. I don't understand that. And you know, it's a male driven industry, I guess.
That is crazy to think about. Yeah.
yeah.
Did you speaking of amazing male stars, did you get a chance to spend some time with the amazing late Peter O'Toole on
I
Troy?
Did. Yeah.
Talking about characters, he's somebody that's just like must have been a joy to be around and experience like the vitality and even
he was
in
very
later
yeah
years.
Had a great
yeah.
vitality, but he's a piece of work. He was not a piece of cake, you know.
No, I can imagine.
He was great to watch, you know, when he was acting, but he, you know, it's funny when you work with older actors like that who were that famous. I mean, he definitely commands that same attention and treatment.
Well, I'm sure still in his mind he's working with David Lean and Lawrence of Arabia.
There you go. And he is Peter O'Toole, and he deserves it.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, for me being so green, I was like, what is this? You know.
Is Inglourious from the start, from the first time I saw it, I mean, everybody fell in love with that one. I mean, you know, Quentin is obviously a genius, and that film has, for my money, five or six scenes that are just amazing. Well, one of them I just want to talk to you about because it's truly one of my favorite scenes in the last 10, 15 years of film is I guess the pub scene. Is the
tavern scene.
The tavern scene, yeah.
and kind of like also an introduction to Michael Fassbender, who since then, now we know, like, oh, that's who that guy is.
Yeah.
But he popped off the screen there. Did you know who the hell this guy was before he got on the set?
No, I mean, I knew he had done this one movie. I think it was called Hunger, right?
Right.
And I knew that had gotten a lot of attention in Cannes at the film festival. So I knew he was going to be good, but I didn't quite, you know, I didn't know how good he was really going to be.
Right.
And it's the same with Christoph Waltz. You know, I'd never heard of Christoph Waltz, even though I'm German.
Right.
And I remember, you know, just being in the table read and all these great actors, and you go, where the hell does he find these people?
Seriously.
Like,
and,
really?
And Christoph was, I think, probably about 50 or late 40s at the time. And it's sort of like, where do you...
30 years
the greatest,
of mediocre
one of the
German
greatest actors.
Yeah. No, seriously, like 100%. And, you know, it was just one of those moments where I think I remember, because I don't have that many scenes with Christoph. Our first scene was that scene when I have the cast on.
Right.
You know, and I'm trying to lie to him. And he was having this crazy laugh. I don't know if you remember the scene.
Of course, yeah.
And even in the scene, I was like kind of taken aback. I was like, what the hell is this guy's deal? Yeah, I thought he was like... making fun of me,
right?
Like for real. And so I was kind of taken aback, and I knew then, I was like, wow, this is like, we're watching something big. Yeah.
Oh, my stereotypical tweet last night after the World Cup was, that's a bingo. That's literally what I wrote. Got a lot of favorites, I just have to say. Did pretty well. You might want to get on Twitter, Diane.
And just for you, I might have to join.
Again, don't condescend to me.
I was trying to flirt with you. Thank you very much.
See, that's why I've never done well with the ladies.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh my God, you're so angry.
Yes, I'm German.
Angry
what are you
eyes.
Talking about?
She doesn't blink. She's just staring at me dead on.
Watch out.
So you're almost wrapped. You said a couple more weeks. You're very much looking forward to that, clearly.
Yes, two more weeks. It's been a long... I mean, you know, it's great, but we're in the desert out in L.A., 110 at noon.
Yeah.
So it's been exhausting.
One of the times I also visited you was on the set of The Host, which, speaking of, like, that was Albuquerque? Was that where that was?
Yeah.
That's... not on anyone's high-end list of places to shoot. Let's be frank. Let's be honest.
I don't know. You know, I love the countryside. I love the, like, just the setting of
yes.
it. You know? I mean, would I want to live in Albuquerque? No. But, like, there's worse places to shoot. Let's put it that way.
Right. I want you to say Albuquerque sucks. That's all I need
from you. I don't
think
it does. Why do you want me to say
I'm
things?
Just
that?
Joking. No.
You know what sucked? Making a movie in Bulgaria. That sucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Good to know. Why is that?
It's Bulgaria. Not that I don't like Bulgaria, but making a movie in Bulgaria was not, you know, just feeding yourself was a little difficult.
Right. Albuquerque, too. I remember the food options were limited.
Why?
No?
Are you like a crazy vegan?
Yeah, I look
vegetarian.
Like a vegan. Yeah, obviously. Look at my body. No, it's all nachos all the time.
Really? They had no nacho. Maybe that's what it is.
That
they
was
didn't
the problem.
Have nachos.
So you're not going to wedge in a film because you kind of, after 4 months of doing this, you kind of want to take a breather. I would imagine,
well, I'm definitely
right?
going to take a month off.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I'm going to make a French film.
Oh, right. In our remaining moments, you might have noticed the strange Indiana Jones fedora sitting on my desk, or maybe not. Maybe you were just staring at me intently
I thought maybe you're weird.
Me.
I don't know.
Well, there is that.
There is that.
These are random questions.
Okay.
Would you like to pick a few and see how we do?
Let me grab a hat.
Here we go.
Did you prepare that before I came in? Or did you have your assistant fold all these papers?
I wish I had an assistant. It's kind of you to think that. What do we got?
Zombies or vampires? You know, neither ones, but I would go with vampires.
Why is that? They're kind of cooler. Zombies just want
to... I don't like to be scared, so I don't like to watch zombie movies.
Okay, fair enough.
Vampires, you know, I guess.
You can deal with.
Well,
there's a romanticism to
exactly.
vampires.
Yes.
Let's continue. Do a couple more.
More?
For me.
Oh,
yeah, please.
Fun. My closest friends and family call me Krugs.
Krugs. That's good.
Krugs. I like it. It's also my favorite champagne brand.
It works out well for everybody.
Totally.
Let's do a rapid fire, and I'll let you enjoy your vacation soon, hopefully.
Yeah. My favorite Halloween costume. Okay, so... there's a lot because I love Halloween.
Do you? You're a Halloween person?
Totally.
Okay.
Peter Pan was one of my favorites. I went as as Fran Drescher in The Nanny many years. No, I really did.
Do you do a Fran Drescher nanny voice?
Mr. Sheffield. I do. It was my favorite show growing up. We were just talking about it. But I did her for Halloween a couple times.
Wow. You should do Fran Drescher as Peter Pan.
No, that's sick.
That's second level.
That's just wrong.
Well.
I did Marlene Dietrich in The Blue Angel a couple years. That was nice.
You know, they're looking to cast Peter Pan in a live musical on television.
But I can't sing, so that's not going to work out. No.
No.
Unfortunately. Can you do one more?
Yeah, sure.
Favorite cartoon character? Well, Calvin and Hobbes.
Okay.
Because I have a cat called Hobbes, and I call Josh Calvin because they play together like...
Oh, ending on a sweet note.
That is sweet.
There you go. It's a real pleasure always to catch up with you.
Thank
congratulations
you.
On the second season
Thanks
of
so
The Bridge.
Thanks so much. It was really fun.